Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Take a seat. Thank you. Before I start, I'll actually like to sort of apologize, because my talk was supposed to be given a few months ago, but unfortunately, due to family commitment, and family always comes first in my book, I had to cancel. So the opportunity has arisen, and voila, here I am again. Astronomy and astrology. It was a very touchy subject in the beginning when I first approached it. But when I looked into it, it sort of grabbed me more and more. There came a time in my life when, after I finished the college, I wanted to find love, and I wanted to find the right wife who would sort of accept the priest, most importantly. And at that time, there was actually a book going around called Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, a very popular book at the time. The one thing that actually I found that dating so many girls, it's a bit embarrassing as a priest now saying that, but yes, it did happen. Was actually that the one thing that they used to say whenever we used to meet was, what star sign are you? What is your horoscope? So, because apparently certain horoscopes connect and certain don't. But before I get into the horoscope part and figuring out why men are from Mars and women are from Venus, let's go to the very beginning. How astronomy and astrology came back around, was formed. The talk is very brief. I'll explain it during the procession, because someone can sit here, believe me, for probably 2 days and explain it and keep going over, and you'll never finish it. I've kept it to the most juicy and basic parts, and hopefully I'll have a lot of time at the end for questions to the best of my ability to answer them. The stars, the solar system, the planets and everything were created by God from the very beginning, as it says in Genesis 1:16. So if God created the sun, the moon and the stars, and if he's the Almighty who created everything, I think we should just believe in him and nothing else, and we can stop the talk right now and go home. But I know that most of you want to hear more, and because God is the creator of all, he uses through the Bible many times the aspect of astronomy. The first part is his actual birth, the Star of Bethlehem. Back in those days, it was very hard to sort of say, from this day to this day, we are going to have a census. What they used to rely on was the moon. On a full moon, until the next full moon, we are going to have a census for the next 2 weeks. With the church, we rely solely on the Bible and also on archaeology, because there are diggings and findings of St. Paul being in Tarsus and many other places. But also the Star of Bethlehem has allowed us to sort of discover into the birth of Jesus. When Jesus was born, the star was so bright, the three wise men followed it to venerate the king. At the same time, in the pagan world, in Greece and Rome, they could see the bright star. And from that moment, they started to sort of say, this is the time of the new sun, S-U-N, Ilios, as they say in Greek. When the Edict of Milan happened and Christianity was free, they could not actually pinpoint the time of Jesus exactly. All they knew that it was over a span of 2 weeks because of the census that Joseph had to take Mary back to Bethlehem so she can also be in the books, and that during that time, Jesus was born. When the Christians went into Greece after St. Paul, during that same time, the pagans used to celebrate the new sun, the sun that they saw once in the night. the Christians used this as an excuse to say that the Son, S-O-N this time, is the righteous one, the justice one, or ilios tis dikaiosynes, as we also use in the term, in the church terms. So from that moment, through that symbolism of pagans believing in the star, we have calculated Christmas to be on the 25th of December. Also, the greatest feast, which is that of the resurrection of our Lord, we tend to calculate it on the fixture of the moon. We wait for the equinox to happen, when day and night equals 12 hours. We wait for the first full moon, and on that time we celebrate Easter. Even at the same time, the Jewish people wait for the equinox. They wait for the first full moon, which they call the month of Nisan, and then they wait to celebrate Passover. Through this, we can calculate Easter. For example, in the year 2099, Easter will be on the 12th of April. But most importantly, the second coming of Christ, in which St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:41, he again uses astronomy, that the sun will no more shine, the moon will be darkened, and of course the stars will be falling to the earth. So the church, in a way, supports astronomy. If you ever have the chance to go to our theological college, Dr. Freeland, who's one of our lecturers, actually has a lesson called Cosmic World. It was the only lesson I used to pay attention with because it was interesting. But I'll leave the church and astronomy at this time, and I'll focus on astrology. Astrology itself began way before Jesus Christ. It began in Mesopotamia 6,000 years ago. There was a strong relationship between astronomy and astrology. Astrology was only the basic naming of the stars and the constellations of stars in the sky. Stars were used by farmers to figure out time of planting. They were used by explorers so they could navigate. The Australian flag, the Southern Cross. The Cook Islands have the round stars. So it was also used for the explorers. And of course, for building big buildings, the pyramids of Egypt. Also, to calculate back in BC, the calendar was also relied on the night sky. Weeks were calculated on the full moon. So let's say there's a full moon, so then when the next full moon, that will be a week. A year was actually calculated on the sighting of the astrological stars, Libra, Aries, whichever one they could see, Hercules within the sky. And they had their four seasons. So back in BC time, there'll be, it's the banana moon of the Libra time during the planting season. And that's how they used to calculate their years. Zodiac. The word zodiac is actually a Greek word, which means animal. And by looking at the stars, they always used to sort of make an animal of each stars so they could sort of calculate. The separation between astronomy and astrology began during the Renaissance period up until the 18th century. But before that, there was many different types of astrologies. There was that of Babylon, where it started from. The ancient Greeks had their own, the Egyptians, the Hindu, the Western, which we tend to sort of read our horoscope from. The Muslims have their own astrology sign, the Chinese, the Sidel, and the Tropical. At this point, I would like to talk about the Chinese one, because the Chinese itself has the astrological stars and have also numerous, they actually have up until, I think it's around about 28, the Chinese and the Hindus have 28 different zodiac signs, such as the rat, the pig, which we are used to 12. But the Chinese one is very important, because during the time of the birth of Jesus, they too noticed the star in the west, the bright star, and they too have also jotted down. So even researchers, historians have sort of said that, yes, there was a star in Bethlehem. We are used to, as a Western society today, to seeing 12 zodiac signs. The Chinese and the Hindus had over 28. The Babylonians had between 6 to 18. The real number of zodiac signs in the sky is 13. I'll ask to go to the next one. On this little chart, and I'll just, if you can have patience, and you who are out the back, you're going to miss out on this because you're too far back. The middle part is the sun. Next line around is Mercury. Then we have Venus. The green line is Earth. Mars is, of course, the red line. Jupiter, Saturn. Then after Saturn, you have Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. On the outside is actually the constellations of the stars. During the year, the Earth rotates around the Sun. And when it actually rotates around the Sun, the constellations of the stars in the background are the ones that actually make up the horoscope that from BC time they used to see in the sky, such as Aquarius, Pisces, and so forth, so forth. If you see very carefully over here, after Libra is Scorpio, but you can see Scorpio is a very small time of the year. After that, we come into Orpheus. Orpheus is actually a snake. But of course, because 13 is an unlucky number in today's society, back in the 18th century, they decided to take out Orpheus, because a snake is not a very good animal, and replace it with Scorpio. So even the star signs themselves are not accurate from this place. Virgo, which is known in the West, is actually Leo in the Vedic astrological. Even the astrologers, the different type ones, argue amongst themselves which is which. Astrologers believe that the movement of the position of the celestial bodies either directly influence life on Earth or corresponds to events experienced on a human scale. So the only thing the astrologers are more care about is that when the Earth is in this part of the year, that something's going to happen accordingly to human life. While astronomy, on the other hand, just says, well, we are in the time of Aquarius and it should be this month. Whilst astrologers believe that something will happen. There are two types of astrologies. The first one is called stellar astrology, where there is no facts, but they relate on the date of birth. The other one is the sun signs, which are we most used to, the horoscope. To take an understanding, there is more than 31% Americans believe that the horoscope is correct. Whilst in India, it is actually a big religion and belief. Astrologers themselves believe that people with air signs, such as Gemini, Libra, which is me, and Aquarius, are the more thinking type. So I'm a thinking person, according to them. Don't say that to my lecturers. Then those with the sun sign, which is more of the water sign, which is Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces, they are more non-thinkers. Don't say that to my sister because she'll punch me. Unfortunately, this hypothesis has not yet been tested and it can never be tested or proved. In astrology, a horoscope is the chart or diagram representing the position of the sun, moon, and planets. Also, its angles and the time of an event such as the movement of a person's birth. Horoscope itself is a Greek word which means hours. How a horoscope is made was to look at the planet star. Can we go to the next one? Okay, this is the evening sky of January the 8th to the 12th of 2006. If you look on here, Orion is the one that we tend to see with our naked eye, you will see probably Aries and Taurus. Okay? So, for those 4 days, there were only two zodiac signs that could be seen in the sky, nothing else. But if you look carefully at Aries here, you'll see the planet Mars. Have you ever read the horoscope where it says Mars is moving in Aries at this time of the year? Have you ever decided to do that? Now, Mars and the actual names of the planets were taken from the ancient Roman gods. Mercury is a messenger, was the god of messenger. Venus, she's my Venus, is love and emotions. Mars represent the god of war. Jupiter represent the king because he was the biggest one. Saturn, time. Uranus represents the parents of Saturn. Neptune represent the sea. And Pluto, death. So when the astrologers were sort of seeing that Mars was in Aries, what they used to write in the newspaper was that because Mars was the god of war, that during this time, you're going to have fights. If Mars happened to be Venus, you were going to have romance or emotion. And this is how they make the horoscopes. What they wait for is to see what planet, at what stage, and sometimes if Mars was down here where the full moon was, we'll say that Mars and the full moon are together and there's going to be a big emotion at that time, so therefore there's going to be a big fight amongst yourself. Mercury, who represents the god of message, if that was Mercury, you will hear good news. Venus, of course, was love. Jupiter, the king, meant that you were going to get a promotion at this time. Saturn, time, something that you've been waiting for, they will put in the newspaper, you'll hear it now. Uranus, to be quite honest, the whole thing is a bit of a Uranus. It meant that you're going to hear something good from your parents. Neptune, that represents the sea, meant that you're going to travel. And Pluto, which is death, is never mentioned in your horoscope. In Maya astrology, Venus, who happens to be our love, represents death. Once again, the different types of astrology do not match. People have also been characterized under the star sign that they've been born. For example, if you are an Aries, which represents a ram, it means that you are an aggressive person. Any Aries in here? It's true. Now, as myself, Libra, I have to be very careful because my scales will be easily unbalanced. But to be quite honest, when I've looked further into this, it all came back to what the ancient Romans and Greeks were doing, a pagan religion. They were relying strongly on the stars and the moon because that was the only thing changing at this time. And of course, that was carried from paganism and some of it was carried into the religion of Islam. The one thing on every flag of Islam and on top of every mosque is the crescent moon. For them, it was the movement of the moon that was enabled them to sort of say that what time of the year it was for them. When man was first going to go, when Neil Armstrong, that we're celebrating, I think, close to 40 years now, stepped on the moon, the Islamic community sort of warned America not to go to the moon because death was going to come upon them, that it was a sacred and holy ground. Well, we proved them, and of course, as pagans, we also proved them all to be wrong. But if astrologers could predict all this, and they could predict our future, tell me one thing. Why isn't there an astrologist in the rich 200? They should be able to play the stock market. They will be able to tell when there's a crash coming and so forth. But yet, they are unable to tell the future. sometimes they sort of say with the stellar astrology that they have to figure out that by the time, the place, and the actual time of the year where you're born, they can tell the future. Before I became a priest, I was actually working in the Royal Melbourne Hospital. And we happened to meet a doctor from Africa, from South Africa, who used to travel the bottom part of Africa. What he used to sort of say, that a lot of people in Africa tried to have babies on the 25th of December because Jesus was born on the 25th of September. He saved the world. So therefore, parents would try to push, if they were pregnant at the time, to break their waters, because thinking that if he was born on this time and at this particular time, sorry, I've had late nights, their son would be Jesus. And of course, in South America, the same thing happens. That's why there's actually a lot of kids with the name Jesus in those areas, and Emmanuel. I wonder where my mum got my name from. But they used to think that because they could born their kid at that time, this will happen. But in the end, science itself has said that astrology is a pseudoscience. It does not exist. They only support their own. For those of you who have studied science from back high school, we used to have to do an aim, a method, and a goal. Astronomy does this. Astrology cannot. What they try to do is predict. Most of the times they tend to predict their own way, and they tend to get it right, wrong, because I'm still waiting for that love to come into my life. But patterns have changed, and so have star signs. Is there anybody who's got a hobby as astronomy in here? Because that could be, okay, you can back me up on this one. Every 70 years, the star signs tend to change 1% on a degree angle. So when it comes to your time of the year, you might not be in your star sign. What do I mean? When they say the sun is in Virgo, because it should be the time of Virgo, in the real world, it's actually in Leo, because it actually changes. For example, in the last years, this is when they found the actual star signs in the sky. For Pisces, they found them between the 12th of March and the 18th of April. Aries, they found them between the 18th of April to the 14th of May. Taurus, they found it from the 14th of May to the 21st of June. Gemini was from the 21st of June to the 20th of July. On that note, Taurus ends on the 21st of June and Gemini comes in on the 21st of June. So if a child is born on that day, what star sign are they? They can choose. From the 20th of June to the 10th of August was Cancer in the sky. Leo was between the 10th of August to the 16th of September. Virgo was between the 16th of September to the 31st of October. Libra was from the 31st of October to the 23rd of November. Scorpius was from the 23rd of November to the 29th of November. There was only 6 days for them. Orpheus was from the 29th of November to the 18th of December. Sagittarius was from the 18th of December to the 19th of January. Capricorn was from the 19th of January to the 16th of Feb. And Aquarius from the 16th of Feb to the 11th of March. All my life I thought that I was a Libra because I was born on the 17th of October. You can put that date in your little book so you can bring me presents. But according to my star signs, I should be now a Virgo because Libra has left the area that I was born in. So this just goes to prove that even the astrologers do not pay attention to their actual sky. In 1971, the University of California decided to sample 1,000 adults by their birthday and the claim attribute, because if you're born during a year, you're supposed to become somebody, either someone big who's a leader, or you sort of become a bum. But unfortunately, none of these attributes did not correlate. In 1982, the Australian Skeptic Society decided to look at all the horoscopes in newspapers and magazines, and they realised that they all disagreed with each other within the magazines and newspaper. This goes to show that even themselves couldn't get it right. Since then, may I add that Fairfax and News Limited have cut back on their star sign readers and just use one. But most importantly, that if you're born at a particular time, place and date, your future is already calculated. Unfortunately, when a child is born in a hospital, there will be another child that is born at the same time with only a gap of 4 minutes. But yet they both have two different lifestyles to what they were supposed to do. One of the biggest people in history who sort of used astrology as a belief so they can sort of predict their future was Adolf Hitler. Unfortunately, we know what happened to him. So the distinguished characteristics between astrology and astronomy is this. Astrology attempts to interpret the influence of the heavenly bodies on human affairs. They try to sort of make us believe that something is going to happen within our life in the next couple of weeks or month. This makes it a folklore, a religion, a superstition to explain events that is occurring. At this stage, I would like to sort of put you in the position of St. Paul, where St. Paul says, do not follow something blindly, but yet we have our own free will and that we choose our future. I choose who I wanted to marry with and not on my star sign. Astronomy, on the other hand, is the science that deals with the material universe, beyond the Earth, understanding its physics of the universe and the exploration of the universe. The Church itself strongly supports the use of astronomy to calculate its most celebrated day, which happens to be Easter. Therefore, we don't have nothing wrong with you buying your own telescope and looking into the sky. But furthermore, I will highly recommend those who are interested to go to your local Australian Geographic Society. There's a book that comes out every year. This was for 2006. What this is a basic explanation to how you can find the planets, discover them, and also how you can calculate when the equinox is going to happen. So you yourself can contribute to the church by telling when Easter will be. In a way, and in a nutshell, a lot of people have put their faith in their horoscopes. But hopefully from this basic explanation, I have proved two things to you. First, that is a continuation of the pagan religion. And secondly, it is not sustainable or no, or you can't even put your trust into it. We are all bright and we all have our own free will, which was given to us by God, so therefore we can all choose our future. Like I said in the beginning, it's a big, vast topic, but I've kept it down to this narrowness, so first of all, we can have questions, and secondly of all, I wouldn't put you all to sleep. I'll be kind enough now to hear if anybody has any questions on our beautiful solar system that was created by God himself.
You said before that Christmas was set to fit in with the pagan sun god, is that right?
Yes.
So does that mean that the 25th of March being 9 months before was arbitrarily set as well?
Of course. The 25th of March is actually, because God was also both God and human, he had two natures onto him. If you follow the old calendar, if you happen to be in Russia, you celebrate the 25th of March 13 days later, because Jesus himself experienced the life in the womb being 9 months. It's not written that, you know, the waters break early, became premature, but we keep those 9 months, and that's why the church has kept it there.
But what about the Star of Bethlehem? When was that actually seen in the sky?
The Star of Bethlehem was kept in the sky until Joseph and Mary left for Egypt, when they fled to Egypt, because the wise men first, as soon as Jesus was born, the star appeared. The wise men followed the star for 2 nights, I think it is, that they followed it, and they came. They asked permission from Herod to go see the child. Then after granting permission, they went and saw the child. They left. Then Herod was actually angry that the wise men didn't return back to him so they could tell him where the new king was born. Joseph had the vision, packed up Mary and Jesus, and left. We're thinking of most 4 to 5 days max the star was in the sky.
But was it March? December? Was it in December? You said the Chinese could see the star.
Yes.
So it's not just that it was arbitrarily set, but we actually believe
Jesus
was born.
It's in those 2 weeks that we celebrate Christmas, because during those 2 weeks we don't particularly know what date Jesus was born.
Okay.
But we know that there was the census called by Caesar, and everybody had to go back to their place. So from the 25th to the 6th of January, in those 2 weeks,
right,
we know somewhere in there Jesus is born. When? We don't know. That's why from the 25th of December to the 6th of to the 5th of January, the church forbids fasting. You don't fast, because it's the celebration of Jesus Christ. We know that somewhere in there he's born, and the next thing that we sort of say, at the beginning we say he's born, and then he's born again through baptism. So for that reason, the church has sort of said somewhere in those 2 weeks, and during those 2 weeks, we always chant the Christmas hymns for 2 weeks.
But the Russians have their Easter, their Christmas.
The whole problem the new calendar came in, which was later in the 14th century. But if we go back, I will probably say when the Russians kept to the old calendar, like this is where the big fight happens between the two of us, which is over Christmas, because Easter, because we know when Jesus Christ died and resurrected, we celebrate together. But because of the birth of Jesus, we can't sort of narrow it down, they've decided to keep it towards the end, start at the end after the 2 weeks, and onwards for another 2 weeks. While we have sort of decided with the new calendar when it was brought in the 15th century, beginning of 15th to 16th century, then we'll celebrate from the 25th, as most of the churches in the West do as well. Churches of Constantinople, Antioch, Bulgaria and Romania celebrate from the 25th, while Serbia, Russia and the Patriarch of Jerusalem and all of Africa celebrate Christmas on the 6th or 7th of January.
And can I just ask something along that line? Why is it that Jesus wasn't actually born at zero, like even though time changed from zero onwards to be AD, BC? He's actually born a couple of years BC, according to the...
That's more of a man-made argument, because we've created the calendar. A lot of people have sort of argued that we should sort of make it after his resurrection. Other people say, so BC is before Christ, so what happens for those 33 years? Does that mean that's no time? To be quite honest, that is a different topic in all itself, and it's a difficult one to go into.
Because you would have thought that if they were trying to distinguish between the birth of Christ, they would actually make it at zero, not at 2 BC, because from what I understand, the crucifixion's at 29 AD, not 33 AD, which would be, if you're using that system where he's 33 years from it. Anyway, I just thought you might
know. All we know, he died and resurrected and was born, and that's enough for me, sort of put it. Anything else? actually.
I don't know how to phrase it. The Satan being the king of deception.
Evil and all that, yeah.
Yes,
yep.
But deception specifically.
Yeah.
He takes a lot of the truths and he presents truths, but they're actually untruths, right? With this stuff, I'm just wondering, is there an element of truth behind it? But even though it's being manipulated by his side and presenting it in a way where it is actually an untruth, but is there a possibility or a probability that, you know, when Mars is between Aries or whatever, that it can influence creation to some degree? And what I'm thinking of more is scientific, like gravity. I mean, the moon, okay, depending on where it is, can affect certain aspects of creation, particularly animal behaviour and tides, etc., etc. So if a planet is in a particular alignment, can that also have an effect on the universe? Because everything's meant to be harmonious, right? That's how God,
yes,
created it.
Okay.
Did you understand my question?
Yeah. Now, when I was working in the emergency department at the hospital, certain times of the month we used to have a whole heap of psych people coming in for psych assessments. And we used to say, is it a full moon outside? Okay, and it used to be a full moon. Isaac Newton, great physicist of our time, well, not our time, but he's one of the greatest, that has discovered this quantum theory, quantum mechanics, I think it's called. The moon itself has its own gravity, and with its gravity, it affects the tides. And there are two tide changes during the year. The human body is also made up of liquid, and by the use of the full moon, it can affect the liquid inside the human body. Therefore, sometimes the brain has got a lot, if it's too much liquids in there, not enough brain, it can actually affect the person as well. And it does play a part to the person's mental status. On that part, because it is something natural, it happens, but we don't sort of say that, you know, the full moon's coming, we can prepare ourselves for it, that's about it, but we don't predict anything with it. It's just like an eclipse. Have you ever experienced eclipse before? When the moon moves in front of the sun for those 30 seconds, depends how long it sort of sits in there, everything from the birds cheeping, from the tide moving, just goes silent because they're trying to sort of say what's happening. There's no sunset, there's no natural sunset, it's just gone dark, because when eclipse does happen, it's just totally darkness, and therefore it all just stops. It's one way to sort of say, wow, God is, you know, great, look at all this. It just has come to a complete stop. But after those 30 seconds, it all starts up again. I had the pleasure of experiencing that back in out in Sejuna when they had the total eclipse out there, which was one of the most greatest thing. And actually somebody from here, Enzo, went out there and sort of brought back videos of it, and it was just something fantastic and amazing to sort of experience and see. So that is part of a natural thing, and we will support that. And we will definitely support that type of movement like that. But to sort of say that it will tell and predict something of the future, no. The seasons itself can also, with the natural body, when spring comes, when spring is sprung, as the late singer, I forget his name, he used to sing New York, New York. Oh. Frank Sinatra. When spring has sprung, so does the human body. All right? And the birds and the bees come out to play, including myself. So therefore, that time of the year, because everything's blossoming and there's the nice smell and everything like that, which is a natural occurrence, a God-given occurrence, it is quite natural to sort of act in that way. When it's winter and cold, we all hibernate just like a bear and put on our weight. Okay? So for this reason, there is that natural occurrence between seasons and also between the movement.
In the old days, in Greece, in the villages, they used to say they used to predict things with the stars, like certain things were going to happen or plant the crops at a certain time because of the stars and the moon being in a particular way, it produces better crops and stuff like that. Like I've heard that people talk about that. And the other thing I wanted to ask is certain cultures get married because of the wife and the husband, their horoscope matching and stuff. I was just wondering what your opinion on that is.
That's how the ancient people used to sort of realise when to plant. They used to wait for the moon, wait for the season, and they used to sort of understand that this is a time where they should plant, and so forth. My parents actually came from Ireland, so they weren't too much in the agriculture. They were more in the fishing industry. And my mother used to say to me that the best time for fishing is at a full moon. And as I'm someone who loves his fishing, I used to go fishing at a full moon, but I never used to have that much of a luck. But I used to go at the wrong time of the season as well. The whole thing also places into season. Like I said before, there's around about 31% of people in the US believe in the horoscope. But in India, the horoscope is actually a belief. And yes, they do rely to sort of say that according to your horoscope is who you're going to marry. That's why, I mean, this person who wrote the book, The Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, was actually a practicing Hindu. Because it was something he believed in, and it was the only way for couples to sort of meet. When I was reading the book, apparently I had to marry someone who was either Gemini or Aquarius. I ended up marrying someone who's Cancer. Well, she's been very good to me, so I'm not complaining so far. So, at the end of the day, look, God's given us our free will. We sort of find someone who we can connect with, click with, and sort of say, you know, I can see myself in this person, not 100%, but I can compromise and be with this person and learn to love him and be with him for a long time. Therefore, love blossoms that way. But relying on something and stars and like that, I think you're going to sort of be filling out a lot of divorce papers afterwards, and that's very, very expensive. But when it comes to planting crops and like that, in the old system, yes. But luckily for us now, we have the weathermen, and they sort of tell us what season we're in. Certain parts of the world, they don't actually have the four seasons. They just have a wet season and dry season, more in tropics area where it's more humid. So it's probably much more harder for them to know when to plant and when not to plant. I guess they just wait for the rains, and good luck if the tomatoes come out. So, yes, it is a way.
How do we explain Nostradamus' predictions over the years?
Nostradamus used many ways. One of his ways was astrology, but look, Nostradamus himself, a lot of things he said have came true. But then after, you could sort of say, was it a good guess? Was it something? But to be quite honest, Nostradamus has never left his method of prediction on how he predicted it. We have many saints in our church who have predicted many things and so forth. So to what spirit and to what degree of divine intervention was there is left to know. There was also a lot of things that Nostradamus predicted that never happened as well. So in a way you can't sort of, because there was nothing left behind for us to chase up and follow up, or what was left behind was just his predictions. I think something like 60 or 70% of his predictions have came true. I think that's the percentage of what has came true out of all of his predictions so far, and there's still a few more to go. One of his predictions was the world was going to end in a nuclear world war. The way I'm seeing it, we're sort of killing the ozone layer ourselves, so we're doing a better job at it. Predictions, I wouldn't sort of hang on to it. There's also other predictions that have came out that's just been a whitewash, so forth. Nobody could predict the September 11 one. So many lives were lost. But we can predict that we all know that New Zealand is on a tectonic plate, that if it ever erupts, New Zealand's going to go missing. That's my prediction, because I know it is a possibility that it will happen. And we'll cop a tsunami here. That's about it.
What is the significance, if any, of the adoption of the term Aquarius by the New Age movement, the Age of Aquarius? And is that just because they chose one of the 12 or 13 zodiac labels, or is there a significance for that particular term that they've chosen?
I'm going to go a bit off the topic so I can answer your question. His Grace here has put me in charge of all of his inter-church relations. This year in December at the new exhibition building, there's this organisation called the World Parliament of Religion that's coming to Melbourne. We've gone to all their meetings, we've sat down with them, and to be quite honest, it's a big joke and a lot of hoo-ha and a very expensive event that has no outcome. During that event, one of the major reasons why us, the Orthodox Church, and when I say Orthodox Church, I mean Orthodox as in whole, both Eastern and Oriental pulled out, was that they accept any cult, any religion that classifies themselves as a religion. If you believe that the Carlton Football Club is your religion, you can go and be represented there. Funny it may be, it is true. And that was one of the biggest reasons why we decided to pull out. Age of Aquarius. It was quite funny because I was sort of going through the list of who's coming, and there was this group that had a similar title. We were actually making a joke with the Serbian bishop. We sort of said they should have called themselves Taurus because it's just a lot of bull. Those particular groups is that when they sort of discovered it and when they made it, it was during the time of Aquarius. Right now there is a big movement throughout Australia that, you know, because they've never had spirituality through the Christian churches, mainly through the Protestant ones, they've decided to make up their own Christian, their own spiritual life. Have you ever been to the Gold Coast? No. Has anybody been to the Gold Coast? Down Cavermore, okay? One of the two things down Cavermore that you'll realise is that there are a lot of tattoo shops and also tarot card readings, future reading, crystal ball reading, and all this type of people that are around there. And these are people that have been made up, and to be quite honest, to make your own little so-called cult or religion here, you just need 13 people to believe in you, and you can get, and you can become a non-profit organisation at the same time. And you can put your business onto it and make a killing. But saying that is that all these little groups have sprung up. All of a sudden, one of the leading religions in Australia after Christianity are Wiccans, which falls into the groups of witches, wizard, crystal ball, tarot card reading. I will throw in a few Greek ladies reading coffee cups and so forth as well. There's over 8,000 of them in Australia alone. And they've all got these different names, weird and wonderful names and so forth. When we had the national conference up in Brisbane a couple of years ago, I think it was 2 years ago that we had that, our little group from Moonee Ponds, we decided not to stay in Brisbane, to stay on the Gold Coast, because it's better on the Gold Coast than Brisbane, and we'll just drive up and down. There was four boys, and the four of us used to go down to the beach, come up back, and plus I had the chance of, you know, being my bathers and shore without walking around with my robes. Seeing all these crystal ball shops and all these, I just wanted to go in to see what junk they were selling. And I was flipping through, and there was all these, you know, earthly things, crystals, rubies, little wind charms and so forth. I was looking at their books, a lot of books on angels, nothing on God, and a lot of books on predictions. They also have a good section of Nostradamus as well. All of a sudden, John, who's round about, he's taller than me, comes in and goes, come with me, come with me, come with me. And I go, what's up, John? He goes, just come with me. So he grabbed me, and he grabbed Ross, who was one of the other boys. He goes, and he walks up to the counter where the lady was, and he sort of said, look, can you really predict the future? Can you tell the future? Can you tell past events? She goes, yes, yes, yes. You know, fill out this form. We have to actually fill out a questionnaire about ourselves. So she, John goes, I just want you to answer one thing. And if you get it right, I'll spend, you know, my $60 and come to you to tell my future. She goes, what is it? John started laughing, goes, one of us has farted in your shop. Who is it? So, of course, she kicked us out. So, look, all these New Age movements, all these so forth, they're just people that have made up their own religion. Did you ever remember Athena Star Signs? Yeah, she used to be big in, I think, Cosmopolitan. Well, she got sacked from Cosmopolitan because she was contradiction other people. So she has actually started her own following. That's simple as that. So for that reason, a lot of people have sort of brought out. There's another group that's actually came out in my neighbourhood in Moonee Ponds, and they're called the Water Bearers. Okay, which is a follow, and their whole idea is that they can channel underground water into springs in the city. And I sort of said, what type of a pump do you use to pump it out, you know? And they're sort of saying we're all negative and so forth, but they're going to do it, so hopefully they can. But there's a whole heap of groups springing up, which is the saddest part. Other question. I've actually got a few more slides. I'll actually go through this one. Like I said, this is the year 2006, between the 13th and the 17th of December. What I actually wanted to show here, that over these 4 days, how the moon was virtually in a full moon. The one thing that you will see, that at no time of the year you'll have no more than 4 clusters of stars. What do I mean by clusters? Here we have the star sign cluster of Gemini, where they're saying to look out. Over here is Leo, and over here is Cancer. At the same time, you'll see Saturn was in that area, but there are also other clusters of sign of stars that exist, and other names of star signs that exist, like Hydra, Leo, Lynx, which is over here. And these just sort of give the astronomers a chance to look in the sky to find the planets or to find the clusters. Now, going back here, Saturn's is in Cancer, and because Saturn is time, it sort of meant between the 13th and 17th of thing, horoscopes would have been saying in 2006 that they were going to hear some good news, that they were waiting, the people who were cancerous. That's just a plain example that only, even if it was true, the horoscopes, even the as people, you could only do the most. We've got 3 here. You can only do 4 star signs at one time, if it was true. So to put a whole 12 and sort of predicting somebody's future is just a guess. Can I go to the next one? This one here, the whole reason I put it up was because of the Southern Cross, because we are Aussies and we are proud. Who has seen the Southern Cross? Okay, can you look up in the sky and see it just like that? Yeah? Who else has seen it? Somebody else said there. Could you see Chris just looking, Father Chris, just looking it up in the sky? Yeah. How long did it take you to see it? Seconds? You're very good. You're good as well, geez. We've got a few astronomers here. The Southern Cross, it's, well, whenever you sort of look up, it's very hard to find it straight away. You really have to go. Now, if you live in the city of Melbourne, you won't have a good chance of finding it because the city lights tend to light up the sky as well, and it's very hard to find any stars. A good place to go is probably beyond the Great Divine Range, where you just look up and it's like a million skies. Mount Isa is a fantastic place. But just to sort of say, if Earth is down here, the Southern Cross is so high up and in a diagonal that it's not joined together. The distance between this star to this star is probably, looking at from the city of Melbourne to Dandenong, to get an aspect that you won't see it as it is on the Australian flag, but there's a bit of a distance with it. Can we go to the next one? Because just to understand, where was it? Here. The distance from this star, which I was trying to find, was round about above Albury, whilst this one was over Bass Strait. So you can sort of say that sometimes whenever you're looking for stars to match, to make a shape or to see, the only one that probably with the naked eye you'll be probably able to see is Orion's Belt in the city, and it's and that's a bit dim as well. Sometimes to sort of look at the shape and the clusters of stars, it's a wide area. the best place to go and sort of visit is somewhere where there's less light, no clouds, and total darkness. This is just somebody trying to predict the future. The astronomers, how they sort of see, they want to see beyond the stars. But to be quite honest, beyond the stars is just God. This is again, as the first one, another one which is shows Earth being the centre this time, the cluster of clouds on the outside. This is something that was in, of course, from the time of Renaissance, and how the other planets in front used to sort of affect the movement of what seasons it was. And finally, this is my cartoon for the night. The cows can tell that it's a Milky Way on that one. Anything else?
Just sort of coming back to an interesting, probably we spoke about, I think, in one of the first questions was, if you could explain basically obviously back in the 1400th century when we changed from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar, and why did we do that if we're meant to be the one and only perfect church, then why did we ourselves be a schism and change the format and change the calendar?
First of all, I won't call it a schism because we're still in communion with one another. Secondly of all, I won't answer it because, to be quite honest, when I want to answer something, I want to get all the facts correct. So to be quite honest, most of it I'll be guessing from the top of my head. What I'll recommend to yourself and to everybody, there is a CYC website. There is a contact there. I think Father Chris overlooks it. Is that right, Father Chris? There's a couple of you. Please put in suggestions of talks that you'd like to hear. The only reason why I done this talk was that because my youth group wants to hear it, and this was my training ground. So talks such as that, which is will cover a large area, we would like to sort of, because to be quite honest, when I decided to do this talk, it was because people from my youth group suggested it, talk about, you know, about the star signs and so forth. Other ones wanted me to do superstition. To be quite honest, put it in there, so then after we can prepare for it, we can bring you all the facts, the actual time and date. And like I sort of said at the beginning, we can sort of show how the calendar was in the beginning during the time of Jesus and how it evolved into what we have today. Of course, the Jewish people now think it's the year 5000, and that's an aspect that you have to put into it, how we've calculated it with theirs as well. It's not just so much from Julius, from Caesar, from the Gregorian to the Julius, from the Julius to the Gregorian calendar. See, I'm getting all mixed up now. But it's also, they also looked at other calendars at the time, such as the Hebraics now, which have a different calendar, and the same as the Muslims have a different calendar to us as well. The Chinese also have a different calendar. So all these, you have to put it into a perspective where you can sort of give a much more better understanding and could sort of satisfy you a little bit more. So what I'll tell to you now won't be 100%, and I'll be trying to scratch the back of my brain, and I've had lack of sleep because we've actually had a priest that's passed away, and we all had to sort of stay up all night. Not raging, but praying.
I was just wondering if we know why the current astrology zodiac that you mentioned started in the Renaissance period. What was it that actually, who started it, or is there any significance to why it started then?
Say that again.
You said that the current astrological system that they're using actually took off in the Renaissance period?
Yes. Look, that's a very... the Babylonians, who were the first, had between 6 to 18 different star signs in the sky. After them, it was the Egyptians that had probably... we're looking around about probably they kept to the 16, the Greeks kept 16. That's why whenever you look up in these books, you'll find a lot of Greek names. There's even a Hercules. Because whenever they used to look up, that's Hercules, and they used to sort of calculate him like that. Ancient Greeks were fantastic with mathematics. It wasn't until they decided probably somewhere between the Renaissance period to the 18th century where they sort of said, look, there's only 13 clusters, but we better keep it to 12 because we don't want to represent Orpheus as a snake there, because they sort of started making up the calendar at the same time. and for that reason they sort of people have kept it to the 12, but better not. Whenever you sort of do your own astronomy, you know there are 13 clusters of different stars that make the shapes of animals or the zodiacs that we are used to today.
Okay. So look at that, brother. Thank you. The whole point of astrology and horoscopes, of course, raises the issue of all these problems in terms of the dangers associated with it, things like psychological dependence, following it, making devastating life choices, mistakes, being misled, and so on. Quite apart from what happens at the worldly level, is there any evidence to suggest that this is also spiritually dangerous? And when people start to dabble in this and actually make it part of their lives, does it invite, for example, spiritual attack? Other issues there, and have you seen people affected by this on the spiritual level?
Whenever you look at it on a face value, you'll probably say no, but whenever you look into it much more deeper, first of all, it takes away the free will of a person. Second of all, if you start believing in your horoscope, you don't need, it's taking your free will, so you don't need the church. So you rely on something externally. And when you have a lack of communion with God, then you've cut all spiritual need to your life. So therefore, it sort of takes you onto another path, which is against God, first of all. Takes you back to the pagan days. And so therefore, you spiritually lose yourself with anything that's to do with the church. Because if you won't believe nothing that the church says, because you will rely of Uranus being in your star sign.
Fair enough. Yes, thank you. That's a very good point. On that, though, is there any evidence...
On the note of Uranus?
Yes. No, I think that's great. Thank you. No, but on that, does astrology feature in some of these occult practices and mysticism and witchcraft and things like that?
When astrology started from the beginning, it was together with astronomy. You couldn't separate the two. Mm-hmm. Over the years, as soon as they sort of started turning it into a religion, a belief that it will affect astronomy as a science, and as you as a doctor know that whenever you do science, you have your aim, your method, and your goal. They have nothing of the sort. The science of astronomy said, we don't want nothing to do with you, you know, and they pushed it away. Therefore, it was up for the taking. Because it is something mystical, something that we can't sort of touch or something like that, but yet we can try to predict something, yes, it does become into the cults have used it in many ways. You'll always see that walking into I had three shops in Puckle Street, which I frequent a lot, that were fortune telling shops. Out of the three, one has survived. And those three used to have star signs hanging off the thing as a poster you could take home. To be quite honest, they have taken onto it and they do sort of believe in it because, first of all, it is something that has no dogmatics, that's something that there is no liturgical structure to it, like as a church where you've got to believe in the birth, the Virgin Mary, that Christ rose from the dead. You don't need to believe that to be an astrologist. You don't need. Need to that. You just have to know which cluster is in which part of the world and what planet is moving in front of it, so you can sort of sell that crap to the person. That's all you need to know, and to be quite honest, and that's all they do. And the one thing that I asked the two shops that closed down, couldn't you see it coming? And to be quite honest, they just sort of tend to sort of play on people's emotions and hearts, and yes, and some people are gullible. Mm. We're supposed to be a society that is supposed to be more intelligent. Mm. I mean, we put a man on the moon, but yet we can't sort of figure out what's going to happen to us or what we're going to choose tomorrow down the road. Mm. So instead of us moving forward and studying something, because St. Paul says quite clearly, study the scripture, study what you are. Don't believe in a blind faith or nothing like that. Mm. You have this opposite movement in today's society, and which is a very unfortunate strong one, and media itself has a double standard on it. Mm. Because they do promote it.
Yes.
I mean, if Teletext has got your horoscope, the Good Morning Show will have somebody blabbering on there, so at the end of the day it's sort of it's in your face as well. So,
yeah. Fair enough. Thank you.
Not a problem.
Could you, if you can, touch on the topic of the three magi in the scriptures? I mean, the Bible mentions them. They're from Persia, and the Persians they had both together, astronomy and astrology.
Astrology and astronomy was together up until probably the beginning, probably up until the 18th century. The wise men were actually travelling with a caravan, and they were your Lindsay Fox of the time, where they used to sort of take goods and sort of bargain over throughout the sort of kingdoms. For them to travel, they travelled at night. If you're ever stuck in the desert, you don't know which way is north and which way is south. But what you look is you look up into the sky and you use the stars to explore it. And that's what the wise men did. Wise because they were leaders and they could know how to travel throughout the night. And they only used to travel at night because it was much more cooler than the day. Of course, the desert heats up pretty bad in the day. So therefore, when they went there, they weren't peasants, but they had caravans. They had gold on them. They had myrrh on them. They were ready to do big exchanges for something else. You know, they were caravan people. And we're not just talking three people. We're talking about a whole heap of group of people with them. And yet, when they saw that star in the sky, they sort of said, look, I've been doing this job for 40, 50 years. I've never seen that. That is a big sign. Even if the Chinese and the pagans have mentioned the Star of David, the Star of Bethlehem at that time, there is a big significance that everybody saw it in the sky, but nobody could interpret it. They sort of said, this is something big. What does it mean? We have to sort of say. And they figured out amongst themselves that, yes, it was a new king being born. And that's why they had to go and sort of venerate him and worship him and give him the gifts that they did give.
But that I just wanted to ask, we know that the church says to us that the only people who can see into the future are our saints, and that's through the Holy Spirit. Does that mean that people like the person that was mentioned earlier on, who was Nostradamus, would the church view that as him being false, because we don't know whether he's living a spiritual life through the Holy Spirit?
That's a very good question. The saints of our church who were able also healed people as well, helped people, not only when they're alive, but also continuing to today after their death. The difference with Nostradamus or other people who have so-called a sixth sense, as they like to sort of advertise themselves, is that, first of all, they don't acknowledge God or a faith. Some use their use into a good means. The Victoria Police was at a stage where they were sort of thinking of using mediums in solving mystery cases, but they've never gone ahead with them, because there's no proof of evidence that it is sustainable. Around us, there is a spiritual warfare that happens. And I take it back to Brian's question, where he sort of said, if people believe in the horoscope, what is a spiritual aspect? If people believe in Nostradamus' theory and only Nostradamus' theory, therefore, how would they find salvation? Therefore, the spiritual battle that's happening in an individual is that the evil is trying to sort of drag him away and sort of say, look, this person can also predict. You don't need to go to a holy man for advice. And if you ever go to a holy man, he won't sit there and say, you're going to have a boy. You know, he won't sit there and sort of say that to you. He'll sort of probably say, look after your wife. She's going to have, you know, a terrible time. Whilst another person will sort of say, you're going to have a child, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. So therefore, you rely on that person who is dragging you more away from God. Continuously, a lot of people, the devil is, he's very evil, and he's very boniros, sneaky in how to grab people away from the right track, from the true track. And sometimes he will, inspire some people, he himself, to sort of predict something bad to happen. So therefore, people can sort of say, this person can predict. I'm not going to listen to Father Chris. I'm going to listen to, you know, Joe Blow, because he predicted that this will happen. He knows that this is going to happen. So therefore, he's won that battle of dragging the person away from the church. That is the only explanation that I can come to, because constantly there are people that are looking, and sometimes where they go and find is on the right thing. Rather than doing it for themselves and starting, they just put their belief into an individual or something, thinking that they'll be able to help them and save them. And it's a total misconcept.
Through the prayers of our holy fathers, Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen. May God bless you all and keep you well.